Goedemorgen. Ik vind het fantastisch dat u en dat jij kijkt op deze Valentijnszondag. Het wordt over de hele wereld gevierd. En over de hele wereld kijken er ook mensen naar Hour of Power. Alle landen ter wereld, zo'n 40 miljoen kijkers. En fijn dat u en jij er één van bent. En ik hoop dat, dat de uitzending van vanmorgen iets voor je zal betekenen. Heel bijzondere gast in de Crystal Cathedral. Hij heet Profeet, hij heeft 4 voeten en het is een labrador. En zijn baasje Henk Hoorn vertelt wat je van een hond kunt leren. Bijzonder verhaal. En dan dominee Timothy Brown vertelt over hoe je ten volle kunt leven. Bijzondere toespraak, denk ik. En dan veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. Onder andere van het jongerenkoor dat een heel feestelijk Halleluja zingt. En dan bij Hour of Power Nederland, Jan Wolters. Een aantal jaren geleden werd er bij hem een zeer ernstige vorm van prostaatkanker geconstateerd. En hij vertelt hoe hij daarmee leeft en hoe God hem helpt. Bijzonder verhaal ook. Kortom, ik hoop dat u en jij geniet van deze uitzending van Hour of Power.
If you need a lift today, you've tuned into the right program. Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral. What a special day. And every Sunday, God has surprises. And every time we come, we never leave the same person that walked in the church. So shake hands with somebody now. Give them the blessing. God loves you, and so do I. Thank you, God, for what's happening in our minds, in our memories, in our hearts, in our moods. You are here, and your Holy Spirit is mixing things up so when we walk out, there will be a smile on our face and new hope in our hearts. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. Scripture lesson this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, what I am commanding you today, says the Lord, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us? No. The word is very near you. It is in your heart, so you can obey it. This day I have set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen, listen to his voice. And hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. May God bless the reading of this his holy word.
As you know, we've had some many, many wonderful guests here at the Crystal Cathedral, some powerful, powerful preachers. And today, you're going to get a chance to see and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way you've probably never seen or heard it before. Our guest is Hank Huff and his amazing dog. We call him the Prophet. But Hank has done this demonstration and given this message to thousands and thousands of people and is making a difference for the world through his Kingdom Dog Ministries. Please welcome Hank Huff and Prophet.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. All right. Well, we need that applause. Well, she said, I am Hank Huff, and this dog is a
black Labrador retriever. He's 4 years old, and he's called the Prophet. His actual registered name is Joshua 24:15. Choose you today whom you will serve. Can I tell you something about this dog? I called him by his name before he was ever born. I held him in the hands of my heart before he ever walked upon this earth. I knew that his job would be a missionary. Go find that which has fallen and bring it back to the master. And I had hoped that his purpose would be to show you the value of me, the master trainer. I wanted him to go and tell every puppy that ever existed in their language, do you not know who he is? Do you not understand the power he has to change your life, to set you free? Isn't that what Jesus Christ came and did for us? Jesus is real, and God is real, and we got to put him in that place. Let me tell you, why do I call him a missionary dog? Here, Prophet. What's his job? If that falls in your lap, I suggest you get it out of there real quick, okay? I want to warn you of that. Here, Prophet. Here, come on, buddy. Come on. No, hush up. Sit, please. Sit, please. I want to warn you, I'm going to blow this whistle in a couple minutes. I blew it in the church the other day, and I take it back, 12 men stood up. Three of them said, play ball, and three said, don't shoot, and the rest of us just said, honey, I'll be right there. So I kind of want to let y'all know what's getting ready to happen here. Why did I give this dog a name? I gave him a name so I can hold him accountable for what I ask him to do. That's almost a new concept in America, isn't it? I didn't give him a name so he can make himself famous. I didn't give him a name so he could put it on his T-shirt, make the Hollywood billboard. I gave him a name so I can hold him accountable for what I ask him to do. And why did I do that? Because the Word of God says what? That each and every man, woman, and child in this room will be held accountable before the Lord for the life you live. That day's coming. That day's coming. But I also gave him a name so I can hold him what? Not hold him, but so I can praise him for what he does right. And you know what the ultimate praise is going to be in your name, for your name? It'll be the day that you stand trembling before Jesus Christ, eyes down. And when Satan comes to claim those that are his, Jesus Christ may very well say to you, call you by name and say, he is mine. He will call your name out as one of his. That's why you've got a name. That's why we name our children. That's why God named everything in the garden. So what does that look like? Here, you know who you are? Sit. I need to know if he knows who he is. Because sit, he's going to go out into the world. The world's going to try to lure him away. Billy, George, Bobby, Robert, Dr. Schuller. Just checking. President, King, Prophet Dog. All right. Give it. Nope, give it. Give it, please. Please give it. You aren't holding on to what God gives you, are you? No. What's more important than him than knowing who he is? Heal back. Come here. Come here, buddy. Come on. Heal back here. Heal. Heal me. Here. Sit for me. What's more important than him knowing who he is? It's knowing who I am. Sit. Now, why would it be more important for him to know who I am? What is the greatest of all the commandments? Love your children, right, ladies? No. Love your mate, love your business. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. It goes on to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You shall have no other gods before me. Be still and know that I am. Why is it saying all that? Because think about it. How simple is this? He cannot love what he does not know. And you can't either. You can tell me you don't know if God's real and I love you, but you're not spending much time in his word, are you? Let me give you a good example. I can send this dog down that aisle. We can send him at that door. We can cross that parking lot. In Houston, Texas, I can send him 300 and 400 yards away from me. I blow this whistle. That dog will stop and look at me. Now, you won't believe this, or maybe you will, but invariably, there's some free-thinking dog, some independent thinker that comes up to my dog, and you know what he says? What are you doing? You're 400 yards from him. He is not your master. You don't have to do what he tells you to do. You don't have to play by the rules. You don't have to do your homework. Do you know why it doesn't surprise me that that dog doesn't know my commands? He's not my dog. The Word of God says something that scared me to death. It says those that are not of God cannot hear His Word. That should scare all of us to death almost. You see, I had spent time in the Word of God and didn't understand it. I thumbed through the book, but my heart wasn't in it, nor had I asked the Spirit of God to come within me to interpret it for me. Because the good news is what? The good news, my sheep will know my voice, and I will know them, and they will follow me. So let's do this. Y'all going to have to help me here now. I'm going to throw this pretty orange bumper right over there. I'm going to tell my dog not to get it. I want you to try to steal him from me. Say, do anything you want to do. You just can't put it in his mouth. Okay? Here with me. Sit. Don't get this, son. That'll ruin your life and all those you love. Disease, problems, pride, greed. Got a lot of ugly stuff on it. Self-serving. But everybody wants an orange bumper, don't they? Sit. Heel back with me. Heel. Sit. All right, steal my dog. Come on, help me out. Steal him. Make him go. Come on. Wait a minute. Hey, you're not helping me at all. And I'm going to tell you something. Those kids that you're trying to protect back at the house, you can't protect your child. You can't protect your dog. You don't keep him from temptation. You teach him what to do when it comes. Because without temptation, he doesn't have choice. Without choice, he can't tell you what, how much he loves me. I want you to really try to steal my dog. You see, somebody else got to run up to your kid, and they're going to say, you coward, you sissy dog, you teacher's pet. Everybody's getting orange bumpers. You're the only one. Only one that's not getting them. Try it one time. I won't tell somebody. They'll never know. Kind of ugly, isn't it? A lot of truth to that, isn't there? You'd best put a foundation in your child and in your dog and in your own life. You see, we need to quit praying for God to make our children, ourselves, and our country comfortable and safe. And we need to start praying that God will open up our hearts that we can hear the Word of God. Because that's what separates dogs from dogs and men from men and nations from nations. I'm going to count to five. That's all you got. His name is what? See if you can steal this dog from me. Because the Word of God says you cannot pluck, steal, take one of mine from my hands. Go. Five. Come on. 3, 2, 1, 0. All right. You think there's a trick to it? You think I stomped my foot, raised my hand? Or do you think he truly knows the sound of my voice? Prophet. Put it down. Get down. Listen to me. I not only need you to know who you are, I not only need you to know who I am, I need you not to covet the orange bumper. I need you, listen to me, I need you to deny yourself. Deny yourself and go in faith. No matter what the world tells you, I don't care how pretty it is, you got to go in faith. Go to the cross. Go to the cross. Go to the cross, my boy. Uh-oh. What's Prophet Dog have? Heel, boy. Heel back here. What are you trying to tell him? A real truth, isn't he? God didn't come to condemn us about the orange bumpers. He came to give us a more abundant life, something you can chew on for an eternity. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hank, so much. What a wonderful, wonderful presentation of God and His love for us. And I just wanted to say that Hank is just a duck hunter, and I'm just a mother, but God can use anybody, right? So thank you, Hank.
Thank you,
Prophet. God bless
you.
Thank you
all. Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ekaterinburg Trio, all the way from Russia.
Het Ekaterinburg Trio speelde en ze komen uit Rusland. Be Thou My Vision, een geweldig nummer. Want als je visie op God gericht is, dan kan er een heleboel in je leven gebeuren. Onverwachte dingen. En dat maakte mijn volgende gast mee. In 1995 was hij in Los Angeles voor zaken. En hij raakte toevallig in gesprek met het nachtportier van zijn hotel. En dat bleek iemand te zijn die in het orkest van de Crystal Cathedral speelde. In die tijd had hij ernstig prostaatkanker en niet lang meer te leven. En deze man, dat orkestlid, nodigde hem uit om naar de Crystal Cathedral te komen. Vanmorgen is hij mijn gast, want sinds die tijd is hij een van onze trouwste kijkers van Hour of Power. Goedemorgen Jan.
Goedemorgen
Jan Wolters. Jan, je was in Amerika.
Ja.
Aan het einde van je Latijn.
Ja.
Wat was er met je aan de hand? Prostaatkanker?
In 91, mei 91 is er prostaatkanker geconstateerd. En tijdens de operatie bleek dat het op 3 plekken was uitgezaaid. En dan stoppen ze ermee. Dat was me van tevoren ook gezegd. Dus toen ik uit de operatie kwam, had ik de tegenwoordigheid van geest om op mijn horloge te kijken. Althans op een klokje te kijken. En ik denk, nou, dit is 3 uur. En de normale operatie zou 1 uur of 6, 7 duren. Dus dat gaat niet goed. En toen ving ik ineens een gesprek op tussen 2 verpleegsters. Die, terwijl ik dan in de recovery was, erbij lag te komen. Eigenlijk al over mij aan het praten waren alsof ik dood was. Respectievelijk misschien de komende dagen dood zou gaan. En toen dacht ik, ja, maar zo zit het niet. Ik ben pas 51, ik heb alles nog om voor te leven.
En welke rol speelt je geloof en God daarin?
Ja, dat is niet meer weg te denken. Als je gelooft, dan sta je er niet alleen voor. En als je een levensbedreigende ziekte hebt, dan sta je er soms voor je gevoel alleen voor. Maar dan is er een God, die is er voor jou, die helpt je. En wat ik dan benoem, dan krijg je reflectie. Dan wordt je eigen kracht nog eens verdubbeld door het feit dat je iemand hebt die met jou strijdt. En dat is mij overkomen, godzijdank.
Ik maak even een hele grote sprong. Je bent een paar jaar later naar je ziekenhuisopname in Los Angeles.
Ja.
En daar heb je een bijzondere ontmoeting met een nachtportier in je hotel.
Ja, die man die was daar iedere nacht. En ik zag aan die man dat die zag er nogal vermoeid uit. Het was een meneer van Mexicaanse afkomst. En ik zei tegen hem, u bent hier iedere nacht. Ik denk dat u overdag ook een job heeft. Hij zei, meneer, ik heb wel 2 banen overdag en in het weekend ook. Ik zei, in het weekend? Hij zei, ja. Hij zegt, dan ben ik orkestlid in het orkest van dominee Robert Schuller in de Crystal Cathedral. Ik zeg, oh. Hij zegt, heeft u nog nooit van gehoord? Ik zeg, nee. Hij zegt, bent u gelovig? Ik zeg, ja, absoluut. Ik zeg, daar heb ik het de afgelopen jaren mee gered. Hij zei, nou, dan moet u zondag bij ons zijn. Ik zal zorgen dat er een mooi plekje vooraan is. En toen ben ik die zondag naar de Crystal Cathedral gegaan. Het was een prachtig mooi weer was het. Ik kwam daar binnen. Het overweldigde me. 1500 mensen, allemaal zeer positief gestemd. En dat kon ook niet anders, want ik werd geraakt, zoals dat heet, door dominee Schuller.
Waarom?
De wijze waarop hij zijn geloof beleeft. De enorme positiviteit. Nou, en ik kan je de verzekering geven. Als je iets nodig hebt, als je in omstandigheden verkeert van, nou, misschien heb ik nog een half jaar of heb ik nog een jaar om daar doorheen te komen en toch het vertrouwen en het zicht te houden op een toekomst, dan heb je positiviteit nodig. Dat zegt dan ook iedereen tegen je. Van, Jan, positief zijn. Positief denken. Maar dan denk ik, ja, positief denken, wat bedoel je daar nou mee? Moet ik nou de hele dag aan Toon Hermans denken of zoiets? Nee, dat werd mij duidelijk uit de preek van dominee Schuller. Hij zei, jongens, denk op een praktische manier en denk positief. Denk vanuit je mogelijkheden, niet vanuit je onmogelijkheden.
Ruim 10 jaar geleden zijn we begonnen met de uitzendingen van Hour of Power op de Nederlandse televisie. Sinds die tijd ben jij een zeer trouwe kijker.
Ja.
Overigens, fijn dat we een contract hebben tot 2018 met de RTL. Daar zijn we erg blij mee.
Gefeliciteerd, ja.
Ja, daar zijn we erg blij mee. Dankzij onze trouwe donateurs. Wat doen die uitzendingen? Ja?
Nou, ik gebruik dat momentum om de zaak dan nog eens, laat ik maar zeggen, te revitaliseren bij mezelf. Dat gevoel. Ik moet mezelf iedere dag moet ik mezelf op peppen. Ik zeg wel eens in de houding zetten. Omdat ik loop nog steeds met die tumor rond, alweer 18 jaar. En die is uitgezaaid naar de lymfe. En mijn dokter, mijn uroloog, heeft de lymfstations weggehaald. Ik ben bestraald. 30 keer, 35 keer hield ik niet vol. Ik heb een zware chemokuur gehad. En ik red het ermee. Maar ik red het er vooral mee omdat ik de overtuiging ben dat ik er niet alleen voor sta. En iedere zondag wordt dat nog eens bevestigd. En met name dus door de programma's van Hour of Power. Als ik dan denk aan ontelbare mensen die de revue hebben gepasseerd. Zoals die meneer zonder handen en voeten. Nou ja, daar draai je maanden op. Hè? Als die man dat allemaal kan met hulp van onze lieve Heer, dan kan ik het ook. Ik heb in die 20 jaar fantastische dingen meegemaakt. Want ik was 51. En ik hoop dit jaar 71 te worden. Ik heb mijn 3 kleinkinderen zien geboren worden. Dat had ik nooit van zijn leven op gerekend. En ik heb helaas mijn vrouw overleefd. Ja, helaas. Ik ben dolgelukkig dat ik nog leef. Maar ik had het zo fijn gevonden als ze er ook was geweest. En dat had ik nooit gedacht natuurlijk. Want we hadden alles gepland dat ik dood zou gaan. Ja. En zij zou blijven leven. Dat is helaas niet gebeurd. Maar daarnaast heb ik de ontwikkeling. Ik heb 2 dochters, 42 en 39. Die hebben zich ontwikkeld tot fantastische mensen. Dat heb ik allemaal meegemaakt.
Heerlijk.
Dat is heel tastbaar, ja.
Erg blij dat je hier vanmorgen wilde zijn. En ja, ik hoop dat je nog heel veel jaren mag kijken.
Dankjewel.
Naar Hour of Power. Dat God je leven zal sparen.
Dank
je. En als herinnering wil ik je graag, want we hadden het over Dominee Schuller en zijn reis. Een reis van zijn leven, zo heet het boek.
Ja.
Die reis ben jij ook aan het maken.
Ja.
En voor beide is de uitkomst zeker. Jullie zijn in Gods hand. En dat, dankjewel dat je dat
hebt
wel willen delen.
Dankjewel.
Nog 1 vraag die ik heb. Er zullen ongetwijfeld mensen kijken, kijkers van Hour of Power, die in een levensbedreigende situatie zitten, ernstige ziekte en zeggen van, nou, hij is er aardig doorheen, maar ik zit in een bodemloze put. Wat is jouw advies?
Probeer zo positief mogelijk te blijven denken. Je staat er niet alleen voor. God is bij je. En die is in staat om jouw wonderen te laten verrichten.
Bedankt, Jan. En dat zijn je woorden rechtstreeks in de camera. En ik hoop dat deze bemoediging voor vele mensen mag gelden. We gaan luisteren weer naar het klassieke trio. En zij spelen nu het bekende Finlandia van Sibelius. Daar is ook een gezang op gemaakt. Ik noem toch even een paar versen daaruit. Ik bouw op u, mijn schild en mijn verlosser. Niet eenzaam ga ik op de vijand aan. Welke vijand dat ook is.
Thank you. Thank you, Don New, and thank you, Cathedral Choir.
Well, I'm very honored to welcome as our guest speaker today Dr. Tim Brown. There are many theological seminaries in the United States, precisely I don't know how many, but I'm a graduate of Western Theological Seminary in Holland, Michigan. It was, in my opinion, a fantastic education. And today we have as our guest preacher the president of that seminary. His name is Dr. Tim Brown. He and Sheila went to Hope College together. He is also the professor of preaching at my alma mater. Before he joined the faculty of Western Theological Seminary in 1995, he was a senior pastor of Christ Memorial Church in Holland, Michigan. And during that time, that church became famous as the fastest growing congregation in our denomination in the United States. So let's give him a warm welcome, Dr. Tim Brown.
Dr. Shuler, thank you so much. I bring greetings from Western Theological Seminary, all my colleagues on the faculty and staff, and our wonderful student body. Some years ago, the seminary instituted a Distinguished Alumni Award. And on the occasion of the very first award, the obvious and heartfelt choice was Dr. Robert H. Shuler. Dr. Shuler, thank you so much for honoring us by receiving that award. And thank you, too, for letting me be here today. He mentioned that Sheila and I were classmates at Hope College, and I could read your minds. You were thinking, the years have been kinder to her than to him. Well, in any event, I'm eager to get started. Here's what I'd like to do. I would like us to begin by memorizing one of the Bible's most hopeful verses. Don't worry, I'm a teacher. I can help you do this. All you have to do is repeat what I say back to me. Are you ready? If anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, good, very good, he, she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The new has come. I mean, think of it. How amazing is that? If anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Can you think of anyone that you would like to tell that to? Oh, I can think of some. Just now I'm thinking of a 15-year-old high school sophomore who stands in front of the bathroom mirror and rehearses the same litany of shame that she did yesterday. I'm not smart enough. I'm not cute enough. And I'm definitely not thin enough. What do you want to say to her? I want to say, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Harry and Mary have been married for 30 years, but it's been so long since they laughed together, so long since they've loved together, they can scarcely imagine being married for 30 more minutes. What do you want to say to them? You want to say, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. A 31-year-old rising star in the business world is stunned when his company downsizes and he gets dumbsized. And now, suffocating under a mountain of debt, he wonders, what am I even doing here? What do you want to say to him? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You know, one of my teachers along the way, a very wise one, told me that when people come to church on Sunday morning, they have two questions on their mind. The first one is there going to be a story this morning? And the other is, am I in that story? Well, I'm here to tell you, you're in the story I'm going to tell you. It's not my story. It's a piece of God's story, tucked away discreetly in the Old Testament. But I feel sure that as I'm telling you this story, you'll recognize yourself. Listen to this wonderful story. It was the 13th year in the fourth month. On the fifth day of the month, as I, Ezekiel, was among the exiles along the river Chebar, I saw the heavens opened, and I heard the voice of the Lord. He lifted me up and led me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in a big valley. It was filled with bones. He led me all around them. There were so many bones, and they were very dry. And the Lord said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I said to him, "Lord, you know." He said to me, "Prophesy, mortal, prophesy to these bones, and say to these bones, thus says the Lord, I am about to breathe my life into you, and you shall live. I will cover you with sinew. I will put flesh upon you and cover you with skin, and I will breathe my life into you, and you shall stand upon the earth." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, I heard the rattling of bones, bone upon bone. And I looked, and there was sinew upon them, and flesh had come upon them. And skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then the Lord said to me, "Prophesy, mortal, prophesy. Say to the breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, the wind came into them, and they stood upon the earth alive, a vast multitude. That's some kind of story, wouldn't you say? And it's a story that stars you. Now let me tell you something obvious about this story, and then something inconvenient. Here's the obvious part. God breathes life into dead bodies. God alone can give us the abundant life that all of us long for. Did you hear an eerie relationship between this story and the Bible's beginning. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, prophesy to these bones, you shall live. And Ezekiel prophesied, and they lived. Of course there's a relationship between the two, because God brings life in dead places. You know, I teach on a seminary campus, which is situated on a college campus. Some years ago, one of my colleagues on the college campus wanted desperately to have a child. The pressure of doctoral work, getting a job, the pressure to publish, all of that kept family matters on the back burner. But when all of that was in the rearview mirror and they determined they wanted a child, they discovered that they were biologically incapable. And that began a long, arduous process of adoption. So many agencies said, no, you're too old. But then finally, one wonderful agency said, yes, we'll give you a child. If, of course, you're willing to take a 12-year-old from China. Oh my, we'll happily take any child anywhere. I can still see them coming down the gangway at the Kent County International Airport, looking so stunned. He stepped to me and said, she speaks no English at all. Now, because they wanted to share with their child not only the love of their home, but the love of their heart, Jesus, and because they had heard me use a Greek or Hebrew word in a sermon, they figured I knew every other language too. So they brought her to me to share the love of Jesus. I can still see her standing in my office doorway, trembling. I must have looked to her like Goliath or something. We had several aborted efforts at communicating, and nothing worked. And then I was given the idea. I'm sure the Lord gave me the idea. I leaned into her, and I said, Jesus. With that, her eyes lit up like a Christmas tree. She reached for a pad of paper that was on my desk, and she started drawing a little stick figure in an acorn. And I said, Jesus? She turned the page and she started drawing several stick figures, one much larger than the rest of them. I said, Jesus? She turned the page and started drawing, this time, three crosses, the one in the middle much larger than the two on either side. I said, Jesus. And then she drew another figure laying on a cold stone slab. She took the edge of her pencil and drew a dark canopy of death over it. I said, Jesus. And then she did a remarkable thing. She started drawing what looked like lightning bolts coming out of the body. But she didn't like her artwork, so she took the page, wadded it up, threw it into the corner, took her little fingers like this and went, pow! And I said, Jesus, what was that little one telling me? She was telling me that in Jesus Christ, there is life and life abundant. If anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What is obviously true in this story starring you is that God can bring life out of death, whatever that death might be. That's what's obviously true. Now let me tell you what is inconveniently true about this story. When God does what God does in the world, bringing life in dead places, God always implicates someone else. Maybe you thought that as you were hearing this story from Ezekiel. By the way, that was Ezekiel 37 that I was sharing with you. God said to Ezekiel, prophesy, mortal, prophesy. Say to these dry bones, I will breathe my life in you. And I can imagine that Ezekiel was sitting there saying, Lord, you just do it. I mean, why in the world would the God who can snap a finger and make anything happen need Ezekiel to speak on his behalf? You think about that question. I don't know. But I do know this, that God uses people when God wants to do what God wants to do in the world. And it has always been this way. When God was tired of his children jangling in chains in the years of slavery, he raised up William Wilberforce on one side of the ocean and Abraham Lincoln on the other side of the ocean. And when the Emancipation Proclamation sent bigotry and discrimination underground, God raised up Rosa Parks to sit in the first seat of the bus and Martin Luther King to thunder over the bus. I have a dream. When God does what God does in the world, God does it through people. When God wanted to reach out and touch the lepers in Calcutta, whose fingertips did he use? Mother Teresa and the Sisters of Mercy. When God does what God does in the world, God does it through people like you. When God was tired of his children shivering in subsistence housing along the Appalachian Trail, he raised up Millard Fuller to say, "No more shacks." When God does what God does in the world, God uses you. And, Dr. Schuller, if I may quote Dr. Seuss in the Crystal Cathedral, there has never been anyone you-ier than you. It's you. Why do you think God, in Jesus, raised up 12 disciples to cover the earth with the knowledge of the Lord like the waters cover the seas? Because when God does what God does in the world, God does it through people just like you. I think I can show you what this looks like. Some years ago, as a very young pastor, I had the unspeakable honor of serving the historic First Reformed Church in South Holland, Illinois. Now, today, one of my former students is the pastor there. In my day as the pastor, one of the most famous missionaries in the Protestant world was a member of that church. Her name was Cornelia Dahlenberg. Cornelia gave her life and her love to the people of the Arabian Gulf, and they loved her back. At one point in her tenure of work there, they changed her name from Cornelia to Sharifa, which I understand means princess. And she was like royalty in our church. When I was her pastor, she was very old and near the end of her life. On one occasion, she underwent a very difficult abdominal surgery. I can still remember the day, getting up early in the morning, weaving my way through the rush hour traffic on the Dan Ryan, making my way to St. Luke's Rush Presbyterian Hospital to visit Cornelia Dahlenberg. I went up to the medical surgical floor, slipped into her room. She was lying on her bed sleeping. I stood next to her bed until she awakened. She opened one eye, saw it was me, and then closed it again quickly. I didn't speak. It was Cornelia's right to speak first. Finally, she said to me, "Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Pastor." "Good morning, Pastor," on the lips of Cornelia Dahlenberg sounded like a symphony to me. "Good morning, Pastor." And then she said to me, "Pastor, I saw Jesus of Nazareth this morning." Now, Cornelia Dahlenberg is a sober woman. If she said she saw Jesus, she saw Jesus. So I thought to myself, here's my chance. Cornelia, what did he look like? Cornelia Dahlenberg then began to describe for me the physical appearance of Jesus of Nazareth as she saw him that morning. Would you like to know what he looks like? I would think so. Here's how she described the beloved. She said to me, "Pastor, he had dark, deep-set eyes." I thought, "Oh my, of course, he's Middle Eastern. He would have dark, deep-set eyes." She said to me, "He had long, tapered fingers, tender to the touch." Of course he did. He was the great physician. He would have a surgeon's hands. She said to me, "His brow was furrowed and he was perspiring." Of course he was perspiring, the weight of the world on his shoulders. And then she said to me, he wore a little green skull cap and had spectacles on and a stethoscope around his neck. I said, Cornelia, you're describing your physician to me. She said to me, I know. This is how Jesus came to me today. When God does what God does in the world, wonder of wonders, God does it through you and me, everyone who offers themselves to the service of the living God known to us in Jesus Christ. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. It's a story starring you, friends, and I think it's time to get up, get out, and play your part. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you and give you peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure. In your laughter and in your tears. Until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which for you there will be no sunrise, no sunset, only eternal light and life forevermore. Amen.
En dat was dominee Timothy Brown. Wat een indrukwekkende toespraak en een mooie gedachte naar aanleiding van een tekst uit de Korinthebrief. Het oude is voorbij gegaan, het nieuwe is gekomen. En als je God gelooft, dan kun je elke dag opnieuw beginnen en dan is het oude voorbij. En voor ons jonge kijkers, ik vond het geweldig om die mooie hond, die Labrador, met die prachtige naam Profeet in de Crystal Cathedral te zien. Wij hopen er volgende week weer te zijn. En dan hoopt dominee Schuller te spreken over de kracht van het gebed. Graag tot volgende week.